politics now with our guest political observers. On our agenda, free trade and job creation. Is there now a real issue dividing Democrats? The Wisconsin primary results. And so long, Howard Dean, who peaked one November too soon as he takes to the sidelines.
I am no longer actively pursuing the presidency. We will, however, continue to build a new organization using our enormous grassroots network to continue the effort to transform the Democratic Party and to change our country.
That's the gist of what the former Vermont governor said in Burlington today. And joining us now, David Brooks of the New York Times and E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post, not to mention Georgetown University and the Brookings Institution. Welcome to both of you once again.
Thank you.
Good to be with us.
First, the Dean campaign, political phenomenon of 2003 turned into the disappointment of 2004. What, if anything, is the lesson to be learned here, E.J.?
Presidential candidates can steal from each other is one lesson. I think that the Democrats needed a backbone transplant after 2002. Dr. Dean gave it to them. Once the rest of the Democrats were tough enough on Bush, rest of the candidates, voters could turn to them and say, Dean was good as a protester, we want a candidate. But I think what he built will last. I think he has a right to claim something important. He showed the Democrats a new way to raise money from the grassroots. That is not a trivial thing. Democrats badly needed that. And he did bring new people into politics. And I thought his speech today was directed not at everybody else, but to those people to try to keep them in politics. That's going to be one of his main jobs for the Democrats.
David?
Well, I think the first, his most important accomplishment was to correct the what you might rudely call the Ron Brownization of the Democratic Party, which this was a party during the Clinton years that became very beholden to lobbyists and to the Washington establishment. And Howard Dean sort of was a recovery from that. Whether he's good for the party in the long run is, to me, an open question. He did give the party this backbone transplant. He also dragged the party into a mood of anger and almost extremism in some cases, which I think is going to be hard to recover from.
You think excessive grievance perhaps might be the legacy there?
I think he was tonally just all wrong. I think people never got to where they could see him as president, and this is not a country that is ready to go for a president who lacks experience. Even the Democratic primary voters were not ultimately angry at Washington Democrats.
Speaking of whom, on to Wisconsin. Senator John Edwards just gave Senator John Kerry a pretty good run in Wisconsin. He ran 5 points back, but he was in second place. And it seems he got there by stressing the loss of manufacturing jobs. EJ, are we about to see a debate here on free trade and the buzzword of the month, the offshoring of jobs?
Well, I think that debate has already begun, and I think what we're seeing is the effects of a long month after month after month of lost jobs. We've only recently, 2 years into the recovery, started to create jobs, and even the rate of creating jobs is pretty anemic compared to past recoveries. And the offshoring of jobs has become the most palpable symbol where foreign investment that was supposed to boost our economy, yes, it's creating jobs, but it's creating them in Bangalore. And in all of the exit polls, you've seen this. In Wisconsin, voters were asked whether trade with other countries creates more jobs in your state. Only 13% said that. Takes more jobs from your state. 74% said that. But Edwards has a very odd base for a populist, at least in Wisconsin. His vote was very upscale. It was moderate to conservative. He got a good vote among Republicans. So I think more than trade was at work in Edwards' strong showing.
David Brooks, what do you think about this?
It's not odd at all. Populism works with the upper class. They're called limousine liberals, and they're called limousine liberals for a reason. And they're especially strong in places like Madison. It is utterly what happened in 2000 when Al Gore ran on the people versus the powerful and lost terribly among people who only had high school educations, but won very well among people with graduate degrees.
Wisconsin is a lot more than Madison, though. And see, I think some of the vote for Edwards was not particularly on trade issues or even on populism. I think his personality, his style, maybe even his southern accent, kind of resonates with moderate to conservative voters.
I do agree with that. And I also do want to agree with EJ on one thing, that we are on the verge of a big trade debate. It's not only in the Democratic Party, it's in the Republican Party. If you took Southern conservative Republicans and asked them about trade, they would be where John Edwards is. We are on the verge of tipping away from a free trade policy and into something else.
Ever since Ross Perot ran, I guess, the second time in 96, his great rallying cry was against NAFTA that year, as I recall. There's been some consensus in Washington that free trade is generally good. It generally helps our economy grow as we have markets overseas to which we can sell things. You think we're going to see an argument that extends so far as to saying let's get out of trade agreements, let's stop negotiating such trade agreements?
I think there are two things that are happening. There was a consensus post-NAFTA because the unemployment rate was so low. With this long period of job loss, people are starting to question that conventional wisdom. And also, people are starting to ask whether we're in globalization has really finally bitten and changed the economy in a fundamental way so that the old view of how trade works may be partially outdated.
David Brooks?
Well, I guess I'd say it's regional. There are some parts of the country in the Midwest and in the Southeast where there has been tremendous job loss because of international trade. There's been other parts of the country, sometimes in the very same states, where there's been tremendous job creation. It always seems that there is a protectionist majority in the offing. It is a real issue, but it has failed in the general election time after time after time again. Ask Dick Gephardt.
Do you understand there to be a debate right now within the Democratic Party between the two leading candidates who are active, John Kerry and John Edwards, over trade policy, or are they more likely to paper over their differences to maintain the possibility of being a ticket in November? And second, can you imagine the fall campaign being more about jobs than about Iraq? David Brooks.
I can certainly imagine John Edwards elevating this issue to the very top. He's at a spot now where he can almost taste a very competitive presidential race for the next 2 weeks. The major issue splitting the Democratic Party and splitting he from John Kerry is trade. He'd be foolish not to ride this issue.
I think John Kerry wants to make sure that doesn't happen. And in fact, the differences between them, Edwards is going to try to accentuate. Kerry has sounded much tougher on trade in the last 6 months than he did before this campaign was really joined.
And you think fall 2004 is going to be a big jobs election campaign, or is it going to be about the threats our nation faces from abroad and how well we're doing in repelling them and defeating them?
If the rate of job growth does not increase substantially between now and Election Day, if we just chug along with a relatively low rate of job growth, I think jobs will be a central issue. And I don't think there's any way around Iraq not being important. Iraq is going to be important. But yes, I do think that jobs could be paramount. And Democrats in this primary period have really pushed jobs up. It's why the primary so far have helped Democrats, because their issues have been at the center of the national discussion.
David Brooks?
Yeah, I guess I would say Republicans would counter by saying personal income is up, so the economy's doing reasonably well. It all really depends, like so much else in Bush's campaign, on external events. How does the economy produce jobs? How do things go in Iraq? This really is a campaign in many ways out of the hands of the candidates.
Well, thanks to both of you once again, David Brooks of the New York Times and E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post. See you soon.
Thank you.